Welcome to episode 115 of The Kraken Pod, a podcast for Seattle Kraken fans, those new and old to hockey and hockey fans looking to have fun. Along with you, we try to go into what lies beneath when it comes to everything Seattle Kraken and the NHL, your Kraken reaction. We are slowly but surely winding up to wrapping this thing up. There's been some highs and some lows in the past week. Some boys have left the team. Where did they go? It's pretty simple. NHL news, speaking of leaving. What? So we've heard rumblings. The Coyotes are leaving. Are they going to be called the Salty Yotes? We don't know. Where are they going? If you haven't heard by now, cool. We'll break it to you. We've got to talk about the playoff race as well. No dumb questions. If Ronnie Francis decided to get rid of Hack, who do you guys think would be a great coach for the Kraken? Awesome question from a fan. Three stars of the week. Joey and I rank what's been going on in our personal lives. Let's get to it. Episode 115 of The Kraken Pod. Let's go. What is up? My name is Jeff Januzik. It's my friend and co-host,
Joey Cirillo.
Man, we've moved the recording time to a very early, like 7 a.m. And I gotta tell you, dude, I'm like clicking into my former morning show vibes because I feel electric right now. It's 7:25 a.m. Central on Tuesday, April 16th. Electric.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm going the opposite. I'm very sleepy.
What's up? How are you?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm doing good. It's fine. And I didn't even think about that, but I was like, yeah, this is some morning radio show vibes. I don't even want to talk about anything going on with me right now because we need to get right into it with you. Your Detroit Red Wings podcast.
Oh.
How the hell are you feeling last night after that comeback in the third period and then the overtime goal to win it? What's going on in Jeff's world right now?
Team of destiny. That's two OT wins in a row. They beat the Leafs on Saturday night in Toronto, which was awesome. And then they do it again last night against Montreal. And I mean, again, team of destiny. It's in their hands. They have to win out to have a shot at this thing. I don't know the official breakdown of what's going to happen. Washington and Philadelphia play tonight. And those are the other, well, and Pittsburgh too's in there. But like the mix is crazy. Currently, the Capitals have the last wild card spot in the East.
Mm-hmm.
But the Wings have a shot. If you look at the money puck, financials, right? The stats is like the Caps have like a 30-something% chance or 40. The Wings are right behind with 30. So I don't know the math. I don't know what shakes out. We just know that the Wings have to win again.
Yes.
In Montreal tonight. And I know Montreal would love to totally stomp on the Detroit Red Wings logo. So it's not going to be easy, just like it was last night. It was not easy. So, but I'm pumped, man. This is fun. This is what is fun. This is the same vibes that I had last year going into the playoffs with the Kraken. So it's a little bittersweet because I'm psyched for the Wings. But at the same time, like I see the Kraken like behind us going like, come, please don't go to the light. Like, come here. So it's weird. I'm drinking out of my good vibes only Kraken Pod mug, and I'm rooting for the Wings, and I'm just kind of feeling it for the Kraken. So
yeah, and for those that don't know, so the Wings last night were getting fucking shellacked.
Yeah, they were. I'm gonna be very honest.
I guess the Canadiens.
I looked at the score. I was, you know, because it's like it's key bedtime dinner for me. So like I was not watching hockey, but I'm looking at the score furiously.
Also, you're not a real phone fan. No, dude, please.
Not a real fan. But I was furiously updating on my phone on the sly, looking at the score, and it was like 3-1 second period. I was like, shit, this
yeah,
man, we need a miracle. And I basically get in bed later on. I'm like, whoa, miracle happened. This is amazing. So these guys, they win. I think 5-4 was the final, or 4-3 was the final. One of those.
5-4.
Dylan Larkin. Holy smokes. This dude has put the team on his back, and like the stars on the team have done the thing.
How about Lucas Raymond announcing himself to the league? He had two goals last night, including like the ones to win the whole damn thing. I mean, that dude is like, I am fucking here. It might not even be like I've arrived for next season. He might be like, if we make playoffs, I've arrived now.
No, he's a talent, man. He's a talent. And, you know, that's what's nice to see. That's what I hope for the Kraken is as we develop this team. is we have clear stars that put the team on their back. And that's what we have in, you know, Dylan Larkin, Lucas Raymond, you know, Patrick Kane is there when we kind of need him. Mm-hmm. DeBrincat has totally disappeared. I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, which is kind of like, you know, spin, you know, like a little spin zone move here on my end, a little Jeff Lasso move. If they end up making playoffs with him kind of disappearing, you have the luxury of, like, if he decides to come back and start playing to the level that everyone knows he's capable of, all of a sudden, Red Wings are a fucking wagon, man.
You know, it's not like he just loses talent. You know what I'm saying? It's just exactly. Something's, you know, maybe not the right fit. I mean, who knows? But I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm not scared of any team in the East. I just am not. Like, now in the West, it's a different story. I honestly, hot take out the gate, I think the Western Conference teams, totally always underrated by national media. Western Conference gets no love. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many cups we've won over the past, you know, several years, but as far as the Western Conference.
Yes,
but,
yes, yes.
You know, there's teams that scare me in the West, and there's really not many. Like, I think anybody could lose in the East. I'm just putting it out there. Just saying.
Yeah, no, it's I'm with you. I'm with you on that 100%. I was just catching it last night, and not only were they being the Red Wings getting beat down. It was 4-2 going into the third period. Man, they scored two goals, including the last one they scored when they had an empty net, and there was like no time left in the game, and then sent to overtime, and then to score the goal in overtime as well. I mean, like you said, team of destiny. It's absolutely incredible. How do you feel about Patrick Waugh taking the Islanders to the fucking to the playoffs this year?
I mean, the Isles will find a way to lose. They still can't score a ton of goals.
You don't think it's incredible that he's taking them to the playoffs?
That the Islanders have taken themselves to the playoffs. Like, they're a good team. They went to the Cup Finals a couple years ago. So, like, I don't know. I don't hate Patrick Waugh.
That's why I asked. I want to see if I can trigger you.
Yeah, no, I'm not that triggered by Patrick Waugh. He's a dick. Okay. Okay. But that's what made him awesome, right?
It is what made him awesome. It's like if Jordan Binnington had skills.
Yeah, for some reason, I don't. It's like Joe Sakic from, you know, the GM of the Avalanche. For those youngins, he was actually a great hockey player. I'll always respect Joe Sakic. I feel he and Steve Yzerman are almost like mirror images, right? So, like, bizarro yeah. world. And, like, his wrist shot was amazing. But, like, I don't have any beef with Joe Sakic. I don't have any beef with, some beef with Patrick Waugh. You know, he made the league exciting and fun to watch back in my day. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think I've always kind of liked the Islanders. So, I feel good about it. I would love, hey, look, if there's any teams in the East that I'd like to see do well in the playoffs, definitely the Islanders over.
Really? You know, oh, okay. I did not expect that from you.
No. I kind of like, you know, I grew up Red Wings fan, but I had, like, you know, fringe teams that I kind of like to watch, you know, that I didn't hate. Mm-hmm. The Vancouver Canucks were one of those teams.
I remember us talking about this.
The Islanders were one of those teams. Mm-hmm. I kind of liked the Flyers for a little while.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I kind of like, but this wasn't like diehard. I'm throwing it in there, but I was like, I like the logo. I like the jersey. I like some of these players. Yeah. You know,
producer boy, we get it.
That's exactly right. So, I mean, how are you feeling? You got any? Are you gonna hitch your wagon to a team in the playoffs?
I am just, I'm feeling it out, man. Like, we're a vibes podcast, right? So I'm kind of just checking the vibes of the league right now and seeing what team is fun. And right now, everything is leading up to the Detroit Red Wings. I mean, if they end up making playoffs because of this run, I'm gonna kind of have to hitch myself to them. And I don't, you know, and maybe I am saying this just to trigger you a little bit. The Pittsburgh Penguins have the same kind of vibes going on right now, man. I mean, Sidney Crosby is, like, putting that team on his back. I mean, he is willing them to the playoffs as much as he can. It's been really impressive to see what they've been doing.
This is the weirdest thing. I don't hate the Penguins right now. I don't. You know, now, do I want the Wings in the playoffs? Absolutely. But I don't know. If the Wings don't make playoffs and the Penguins do, I'll flip the script on that and go back to my normal self. But, like, got to respect him, man. I got the race in the East for this last wild card spot is pretty fun. And,
yes,
you know, like, these next couple of days will be exciting to watch.
I agree. I can agree more.
But I think we'll discuss. We have the playoff scenarios as of today. We'll talk a little bit later on about who we think might win in those series. Mm-hmm. Again, asterisk, they're not officially confirmed, but we'll get to it.
Yeah.
But look, thank you for talking about the Red Wings on this Detroit Red Wings podcast. But we probably should talk about the Seattle Kraken. Let's get to your Kraken reaction. I'll say one thing is, you know, the grade that I gave the goaltending,
yes,
was 1,000% accurate. A+.
Okay.
A+. I think that even against the good teams that we played and lost to, I'm just so happy with the goaltending that we have going into the next season.
Jeff Lasso would see a 3-game losing streak and be like, let me tell you the positives I'm taking away. Well,
they didn't really give up until the San Jose game. They just didn't, you know, which, but let's get through it. We got 4 games to talk about here, and wins and losses don't matter anymore.
They do not. It's more about like what, I mean, at this point, honestly, I'm looking at what individuals are doing. And by the way, I know there's a couple of little storylines within the Seattle Kraken. Like, you want to see Jordan Eberle. He's on the brink. I think it's like a goal nurse. So I forget what he needs, but Father Canner, by the way, you want to talk about good vibes only parlay. He's 1 goal away from 30 on this season. And if he does that, that would be back to back 30 goal season for the first time in his career. So, we need to will him to get that one last goal, but he actually has a quote. I'll share it in a little bit here where he kind of just says that he doesn't give a shit because they're not making playoffs and it's depressing. Anyways, moving on. Against Arizona, again, wins and losses don't matter, but the Kraken did win. It was 5-0. I mean, Grubauer completely blanked them. And you were right on the A+, I mean, here, because Grubauer, how about 39 saves? It was the second shutout of the season for him against Pittsburgh Penguins in February, so that makes sense why you're rooting for Gru. But no, man, I mean, this was a game where, you know, it's Arizona. There's a lot of stuff going on with that organization, which we will also touch on in a second here. But how about them, like, 39 shots on net, and so many of them were, like, high-danger chances where, like, they should have scored. I mean, at one point, watching the game, I was like, I feel like this should be, like, 4-1. We're losing. And Grubauer put the team on his back, and the Kraken ended up blanking Arizona is really impressive. Oh, and then, you know, Shane Wright, the kid's all right. How about fucking him going off for another goal, 4th goal in 4 games?
I just love that. Like, he has just blossomed in Coachella Valley, and you can tell he just is feeling himself and he's ready for the show. And next year, no matter what, I think will be fun with him. I think my prediction of what, 20 goals is going to happen.
Ooh, I really do love that prediction. We need to talk about this game for a second, then we need to move on because it's depressing as hell.
Yeah.
Why is it? So Thursday, the Kraken play San Jose. It's the last game at Climate Pledge this season. They lose again to San Jose. And one of the things that the Kraken do that's like the epitome of Kraken shit.
My good vibes parlay.
You want to talk about that?
No, keep going.
They make every fucking goalie look like a Vezina finalist, and I'm fucking tired of it, man. I'm not taking anything away from Devin Cooley, but it's the dude's 4th ever NHL start, and he absolutely, I mean, the Kraken have, 50, like, I forgot how many shots on net, 49, yeah, there you go, 49 shots on net in the game, and out of that muster, 1 goal. And leading into your good vibes only parlay, the one goal that was scored by the Seattle Kraken was by no other than Brian Dumoulin, who scored his 6th of the season, which is a career high for him. Now, that leads into the good vibes only parlay. Would you like to discuss this for a second? Because this was heartbreaking.
This was heartbreaking because I go into this game and I'm like, I just feel something. And I really, truly said this. Like, I feel something like somebody who doesn't score a lot of goals is going to get a goal. So I go into the DraftKings Sportsbook app and I'm looking to make a good vibes only parlay. And I always love to get my odds up high so I can get a good return, right? I take a chance always. So I'm looking and I see, all right, Ellie Tolvanen, shots on goal, over, under was 1.5. I was like, I took the over on that. That's pretty cool. And then, of course, I always take the Kraken money line. I'm like, it's the Sharks. They got to beat the Sharks, right? It's like, you know what? Brian Dumoulin, he's going to score a goal. And like, it was probably 45 minutes before puck drop. I made this bet and I'm like, it's Dumoulin time. And I made that bet. So my parlay was Kraken money line. This had to win, right? Brian Dumoulin, anytime goal score. And then Ellie over 1.5 for shots. And yes, everything hit except for the Kraken winning the game. Like, the odds of me picking Brian Dumoulin to score
goal this season out of 82 games
and hitting, that is the ultimate Kraken shit move right there. It's like, but I, look, that's worth what? And I put a lot of money on it, actually, for me. I put $20 on that bet.
Yeah, but that 20, I mean, your odds were so high that I think you would have won like $390 or something like that on a $20 bet. And when Dumoulin scored pretty early-ish in the game, and I just remember all the Kraken Pod fan that was watching along with us being like, holy shit. Like, oh my God, how did he do this?
I mean, look, I could have made like 50 bets and maybe I just like took the screenshot of the one that actually hit and put it
out. Yeah, but I know that you don't, because I know you don't do that. So
no, I try not to spend
as much as you're trying to downplay it. I forgot who I was talking. I was talking to somebody, but I was trying to explain like the rarity of this like happening. And I was just like, I don't know how Jeff does it, man. I was like, he gets these gut feelings about things and he rolls with it. And a lot of times it happens. Like, I don't know why. I'm like, that's why it's a good vibes only thing. Like, I can't explain it, but
well,
it is what it is. Like, and the number of times that you've laid something out there and I'm like, oh, I should put like $5 or $10 on that. And I never do it. And then it hits. I'm like, well, Jeff just won $100. I'm sitting over here like a fucking idiot.
Well, I'm going to tell you what is like that one hit, but there are way more this season that have not. So,
yeah, like, but you know, we'll ignore those. It's fine. We just, you know, you remember the wins and not the losses. I mean, listen, you and I start off hot. Last year, you and I banged the drum all year for Matty Beers for Beniers to win Rookie of the Year. And that netted us a nice $500. That sounds like we're over here like Mr. Moneybags, but those odds were like, I mean, I forget what they were, but they were incredibly high. And you and I rode that all season long right to the bank.
Well, that's what I'm working off of still. Like, that is that. Like, I didn't put any more money into this thing. I'm working off of that win, and I've whittled that down. But I am going to hit on one of the – unless, like, I hope I'm really rooting against Philadelphia to not make playoffs, so Torts is out of the race for Coach of the Year, the Adams Award, because I've got money right now on Rick Tocchet in Vancouver.
That's right. You called that a while ago. Then I think I heard something like a week or two ago on it. And I was like, holy shit, Jeff was calling this in like December, maybe even like November.
And it was earlier. It was because it was, or like, it might have been November because they came out hot. I was like, holy crap. So anyway,
yeah, you're like Rick Tocchet, Coach of the Year. Take the money now. And I was like, holy shit.
Put a pin in this one for the start of next season, Joey. You and I should break down the futures bets.
I like that. That's a great idea.
Because we've made our money on the DraftKings Sportsbook app the last couple of seasons now on futures bets. And we should totally discuss that and look at those odds in like September and then make some bets there.
I'm down, because the reality is betting individual games are really hard. I mean, there was that episode where we had the no dumb question that was talking about, like, you know, like goals scored in a game. And there's actually like the stats about, like, you know, the number of games that, you know, teams combine for four goals and how, you know, Vegas always has those lines where it's like over 3.5. And you see that and you think, oh, this is easy money. And well, joke's on you, because the odds are so high against you. That's how, you know, these places make their money.
Yep. I agree. So anyway, the San Jose game was completely defeating. I will say something is
that's the game of the season, man. I was joking around. I was like, everyone at Client Pledge Arena that night deserved an open bar. I mean, the least thing that the organization can do at this point is let their fans 21 plus, get drunk on their dime, because what the hell's going on?
I will say those cross body bags that they gave out, those are pretty cool. I mean, like, I wouldn't wear one of those, but like,
yeah,
I mean, the open bar way better, especially losing to San Jose. But
yeah, I'm with you. I mean, listen, last home game of the season, and you lose to San Jose, you just come out completely flat, and it's brutal, and. The boys were trying to score. They had more shots on goal through the first two periods than they had in 60 games total prior, like during this season, which is bananas. And they finished 18-6 at CPA this year. So the home ice advantage for the Seattle Kraken does not exist, and those fans are paying a premium.
I will say this is pure business. This is not hockey related. Pure business is management, ownership. I don't think you can really have another losing season right now. I think you have to kind of go push the gas a little bit to get people super pumped to want to come back to the CPA, because if they go into, you know, a losing era and they're just strictly building up, you know, draft pick stock and all that sort of stuff, that you could risk losing or crushing that, like, you know, first couple of year glow of, oh, new team, this is great and so much fun.
Yes.
Because it's not like you're just going to an AHL game, you know, and paying, and, you know, not that they're super cheap, but, like, you know, they're cheap, right? Compared to an, you're not just going to be like, oh, let's go drop a $400 to go see a really bad hockey team at CPA and then spend, you know, $40 on parking or whatnot. A $500 night to watch a crappy team. So I do feel like this is very zoomed out, right? High level thinking here, but
yeah, I mean, you got your Ron Francis hat on. I like it. Keep cooking.
Little GM action here, little ownership action. I think that, you know, ownership's probably like, hey, look, we really need to have a good season next season to get people pumped and excited, especially a good first half. Like, have a good first half and put yourself in a spot for a potential playoff spot, mm-hmm. and you're selling tickets. This is all you need.
I love this, man. And I'm just going to add on to it really quick, so we don't need to go down a whole path on this, but I completely agree. And in fact, we talked about how, you know, this offseason coming up is about to be, I believe, big for the Seattle Kraken. And this is a big part of it. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I think you're exactly right. I think the organization is looking at, and they're zooming out, right? And they're saying, you know, eventually after 3 years or however much time has gone by, the shiny new toy that starts to fade. And with the prices and everything and the options that people have out there, as far as entertainment is concerned, we need to put a good product out on the ice, or this is going to start getting ugly and getting weird really quick. And the organization does not want that to happen. I mean, at the end of the day, it is a business and they're all about making money. And also with how in tune this organization is with their fans, I promise you that the front office is very, very, very well aware of the sentiment that the majority of the Seattle Kraken fans we have been sharing all season long about how we feel on this team, prices being too high, the product out on the ice not being an appropriate reflection of that, et cetera. And all those things are going to be taken into consideration.
All right. I want to throw something else into the mix here.
Please.
And I don't know who's going to get this. I don't know who's going to get granted ownership.
Yeah.
But you've got to factor in the looming Seattle Supersonics coming back.
There's also that. Yeah. And the NBA season basically runs concurrently with the NHL season.
So they do
dumb numbers. I'm talking like the NBA is like 10X viewership on average per game. And I already looked this stuff up in advance.
I mean, unless you're a diehard hockey fan in Seattle and you're thinking like, well, I mean, look, the hype is going to start over for the Sonics whenever they come into the league. It's going to happen, right? And
yes.
And, you know, you got 2-3 years of just like, oh my God, the Sonics are back. Like, no, if people have that disposable sports income, unless the Kraken are killing it, they're going to, especially in that first year or two, they're going to be with the Sonics.
And you're talking about a team that also has a history. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Seattle Kraken, you know, did too, to an extent with the Metropolitans, but you're like a legitimate, I'm not delegitimizing the Seattle Kraken's history, but like you're talking about like roots planted in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
Talk about the Seattle Supersonics. I mean, at the time that the Sonics were moved out of Seattle and crushed my fucking heart, that to this day it still hurts. I mean, shit, I won't go into this detail, but
I believe it.
I started a new freaking job like mid last week, and there was like this meeting, and we had like icebreakers and stuff. Tell me why that my dumbass, of course, ended up talking about the Seattle Sonics for like 10 minutes. And at the end of it, a dude pulled me to the side. He was like, dude, Seattle Sonics? And I was like, yeah, I kind of dated myself there. He was like, holy shit, man, I forgot about those guys. I'm like, yeah, well, I didn't. So, anyways, my point is that like when that team was moved out of Seattle, at the time, they were the only Seattle-based franchise to win a championship. I mean, the Sonics are beloved in the Pacific Northwest. There is serious history there. So when that team comes back, man, like the shiny new toy, the Seattle Kraken, that's going to get replaced really quick. It's only going to be the hockey diehard. So again, I agree with you. Need to put a solid product out on the ice. I am so ready for this Kraken offseason, man, because I think this team is going to be vastly different come next year.
All right, so this is all, you know, from the San Jose game, but I'm, last thing I'm going to say is, like,
we lost to the worst team in the league.
I love this, though. I think this is the highlight of the podcast for this episode.
I agree.
Breaking this down.
I know. It's like the opposite of the depths. Like, you and I got floaties on, man. We're just chilling.
Would you agree that this summer, this offseason for the Seattle Kraken is, like, hot GM summer?
Oh, this is.
Like, you got to make some moves.
Seeing, like, hot boy summer, and he's like, oh, this summer has nothing on me. I'm about to go full sunglasses on for the next 3.5 months. Like, this is going to, it's going
to
be on.
He needs to cash in on some of these picks. Okay. So, demoralizing loss to the Sharks, but Brian Dumoulin scores also too. Joey and I are apparently available for consulting on general manager moves for the Seattle Kraken. Just hit us up. It's all good.
Listen, if the organization can pay money to fly out fucking book talk to CPA, then they can pay us a consulting fee.
All right, so Saturday at the Dallas Stars. I'm all about it. I'm serious. Like, we've got the good idea. We're big thinkers here, okay? This is not like we're breaking down Brian Dumoulin's goal here. We're thinking big, okay? Yeah. How can the Seattle Kraken make more money? And that's, we have ROI, right? So hire us. We're here. We'll help you big think stuff. All right, so.
Love it. Pay us in, you know, we'll bring the vibes. You pay us in actual money.
Dallas game was a pretty good effort, I thought, by the Kraken team. We lose 3-1. Full context is my son had a birthday party during the day at a skating rink.
Nice.
That's like 25 minutes away from our house. So I had to drive out there to pick him up and then drive back. And I had my phone plugged into the car and we just listened to the game. It was a good hockey day because check out this story is my wife told me, you know, cause you know, Ford knows how to skate. He's the only one of his friends that knows how to skate. He has rollerblades and he's flying around, and somebody, I don't know the exact story, but my wife's like, yeah, it's one of his friends or somebody said, oh, Ford, you're really good at skating. He's like, yeah, my dad's from Michigan.
Oh, what, dude? How awesome did that feel?
Proud dad right there. It's pretty awesome.
Dude, so, hell yeah. You're like in the background, just flexing in a Red Wings.
Yeah. I tried not to. You know, when I came to pick him up, like, it's honestly a good thing that I didn't have my skates in the car, because I might have, like, gone out there and with, like, you know, 15-year-olds.
Yeah, and then your wife would have been like, you guys need to rein it in a little bit.
No, it would have been devastatingly embarrassing for the entire Januzik family. But I did hold myself together, did not go do that. And anyway, but like, I thought it was a good effort by the boys against a really good Dallas Stars team.
Yeah, and, I mean, it was 1-1 going into the third, you know, Kraken ended up losing 3-1. And the only, you know, thing I really want to say about this game is that Yamamoto, Spokane native. Oh, by the way, speaking of skating rink, just shout out to Skateland and Lacey. Real ones know exactly what I'm referencing there. But, Yams had the lone goal, and this sparked a lot of online Seattle Kraken fans saying, hey, Hack, do us a favor and stop healthy scratching this dude because he plays really fucking hard. And I couldn't agree more. And you and I have had a previous conversation about Yams and how I do think he's an important part of this team. And it goes beyond the storyline of like, oh, he's from Spokane. Look how cool that is. Like, he actually does contribute and he plays really hard. And a lot of times when this team has not given their A-plus effort, I don't think there's really been any point whenever he's been out on the ice where I've ever questioned how hard he plays the game.
That was a job interview. That was a
I like this.
A job interview effort. Yeah. Because he knows and he's not, I mean, he knows what's up. He's been scratched a lot lately and hey, Yams, you're in. Okay, coach, got you. And he went out there and he showed, hey guys, do not give up on me. Do not ship me off. I want to be on this team. So yes. I think he just bought himself a spot because guys are going to be gone and being moved. And I think Yams put a pin in this one too. I think Yams sticks around just because of that effort right
there. Oh, he absolutely has to. And also with like this, the sentiment starting to slowly turn with the Seattle Kraken organization and their fans. Like, you want to keep the fans happy. Like, you bring back Yams. It's like the Mariners bringing back Mitch Haniger this season. I mean, the dude doesn't really do a lot anymore at this point in his career. He did hit a 2-run bomb last night. But I will say that it was all for the vibes, and I'm here for it. Speaking of Yams, though, he actually gets promoted as a result of that job interview, Jeff. So look at us fucking on a roll this morning, because he gets actually bumped up to the second line to play Sunday at St. Louis And that's pretty much the only highlight, because the Seattle Kraken get absolutely rocked. It was 4-1. Oh, sorry. You know what? I was wrong. I made a comment about how the game in Dallas was 1-1 going into the third. That was actually against St. Louis. It was 1-1 going into the third. The Seattle Kraken gave up 3 goals in the third period, one of them being an empty netter, which never ceases to continuously crush my heart. St. Louis on Sundays, if I would have known this, I don't know if I would have bet on it, except betting against the Kraken, that feels sacrilege. But St. Louis on Sundays this season is undefeated. That game made them 7-0, and all time facing the Seattle Kraken, and their nine matchups, are 7-2. So St. Louis has the Seattle Kraken's number, and I didn't know that until looking up the stat, because Statman thinks. Jeff, yeah, this is the part where you say Statman. Thank you.
Wait, what?
Statman! Thank you. Thank you. But every time we play against St. Louis, in fact, it was the first season when I remember we were on a little bit of a losing streak, went to St. Louis, and I believe it was Drieger that had a start that was really, really, really solid, and St. Louis found a way to win. It was absolutely heartbreaking. For some reason, every time we play them, I just make a mental note of, like, damn, this team really has our number. It's not a good matchup for whatever reason. What really stood out to me is Father Kanner. So he scores a goal. The Kraken lose 4-1. And after the game, his quote in the locker room to reporters is, and again, they're asking him about scoring 30 goals because he's one away. He hasn't done it in back-to-back seasons ever, blah, blah, blah. And his quote is, scoring 30 goals, it doesn't mean anything. It's obviously great scoring goals, but I want to be in the playoffs. I want to play for something.
I like that. That's like a Whitesnake song. Those are lyrics like a Whitesnake song from the 80s. Like, I want to play for something.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that's an awesome quote. I love that. He's a leader.
Yeah.
I still think he scores a goal in the next couple of games here. And you know, I think, yeah, the vibes in the locker room are just like, they're a bummer. You got guys playing for spots, you know, Jared McCann's fantastic. Also, too, by the way, how about the hate on Twitter for the Father Kanner nickname? You saw that?
Yeah, from the one person who then got just completely demolished.
Can I admit something here? Can I admit something?
Yeah, please. We got to stop focusing on the one person that says like one thing. I mean, I just love coming in with a quick, like, you know, like a chirp back at him, and then just moving on, and then just watching everyone else just be like, wah, rah, rah.
No, that's why you're a social media pro, like legit. Like, that's the best for any advice I give to any other social media people. If I, you know, actually had any good advice, is with trolls, you come in and you respond one time.
Yeah.
And then you never, ever, ever, ever say anything back, because they'll furiously just like respond to their own response and be like, and they're so mad that you don't come back and say anything. They just, yeah, implode. But I think that I wanted to admit that. Joey, this is a revelation. Like,
are we in the circle of trust right now? What's going on?
Yeah, we're deep into the pod here, but like, I don't know where the Father Kanner nickname came from. What, I don't remember. I don't know what's going, like, I've totaled like the last 3 months, I'm like, where, man, I'm too, this is my don't know dumb question, is like completely forgot. Yeah. Like, where does the Father Kanner nickname come from?
I said it. I'm not saying this just to give myself credit. I said it as, obviously it's a joke, but 99% of the shit that we say on here is a joke, which I still think is funny when people come at us for the dumb jokes we make. And like, well, actually, I'm like, have you guys listened to like a second of us talk? I mean, anyways, doesn't matter. I said it as a joke, God, pretty early on, because Pastor Kanner, if you remember, was getting tossed around a lot. And I'm an idiot. And I just thought Father Kanner sounded better.
Yeah.
And so we just started kind of rolling with it and, you know, be like, praise be unto him. And oh, the church of Father Kanner is open on a Sunday and all sorts of stuff like that. So
good.
I mean, it actually worked out that the church was open on a Sunday because he did score a goal on Sunday. I'm just saying. But anyways, it's all fun, man. Like, who gives a shit? Like, it's a fucking sport. All this stuff is literally made up for our entertainment. I mean, if we can't have fun with it. And by the way, especially in a season that has been as disappointing as this one was, if I don't find things to enjoy and have fun with, which I always do in sports in general, then I'm just going to be a miserable fucking human being, which,
yeah,
that path is very easy to go down. And me as a younger person, Absolutely. I would have let wins and losses dictate my entire mood for extended periods of time. I am no longer that person. You know, it still, you know, will impact me, but come on, man, let's have some fun with it.
Well, the vibes, we're on the same vibe train right here because we've got the good vibes only. And I would like to wrap up the Kraken pod.
Yes.
With another quote, because that Father Kanter quote was awesome. I love it. Thank you for explaining that. I thought it came from us, and I'm happy it did. As we look into merch man, into the off season. So, but I'd like to end the Kraken reaction with this. It is a quote from Devin Cooley, who, after the Sharks' dominating win over the Seattle Kraken and his 49 save effort, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. He basically was like, "I was making a bunch of saves, and I looked up at the scoreboard, and I realized that I made that many saves." And then he did say this. He's like, you know, really at the end, quote, "Nothing's really going to matter. We're all going to die."
Yeah, he did say that.
End quote. What he said.
Which, by the way, immediate Logan Cooley fan. How can you not root for a guy that drops shit like that in an interview? I wish more personality was shown in the NHL. That is it was fantastic. I did see that quote, and I was beside myself.
If the Sharks don't put that on a t-shirt and sell it, like, they should totally do that.
Yeah.
Also, too, and apparently...
Sharks lost, doesn't matter. We're all going to die.
This is the last... Did you see that somebody put a picture up of the at the Kraken team store, the Lars bowl cut shirts in the team store?
I believe I did see that, actually. Yeah.
Anyway, all right. All right, so that's it for your Kraken reaction. We play the Peggers tonight and then Minnesota on Thursday. Put a pin in the season. We'll do a season wrap-up episode next week. We do need to talk the NHL headlines right now.
Yeah.
Not including the Kraken at all, but are pretty fire. The biggest one, bigger than the playoffs, just breaking over the past 24 hours. Rumor has it that the Arizona Coyotes will be sold to the Utah Jazz owner expected next week. But then Arizona is expected to get an expansion team. Mm. That's according to an Associated Press source. So,
yeah,
this is from the article.
Yeah.
The Arizona Coyotes will likely be sold to Utah Jazz owner Ryan Smith after the team's final game.
Yeah.
And will include a provision guaranteeing current owner Alex Morello an expansion team if a new arena is built within 5 years, which good luck, you know, Phoenix, yeah. Glendale, like they've really struggled with that. So
yeah, it's not happening. And the board of governors for the NHL has approved of this as well. So it seems like everything is starting to roll in that direction.
Yep. Yep. So anyway, the Yotes are heading out to Utah, and I it's pretty crazy out there. I noticed like one, another pod
because of all the Mormons.
No comment. I know Utah is beautiful, but I always think of this Great Salt Lake. And I honestly start thinking about salt and then I start thinking about food. So that's what every time I think of Utah, that's how I go.
Got it. Interesting. My mind just
like salty, salty, delicious food. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was kind of cool was the Coyote Corner, which is another hockey podcast. They said, I feel terrible. Like they put out this tweet that, you know, 15 hours ago, after a lot of thought, reflection and conversation, we will both continue covering hockey for the team in Salt Lake City. For those who come along, we hope you find comfort and familiar faces. For those who do not, thank you for your endless support. Like that, like it got over 1,000 likes, which is awesome. These two dudes, like yeah. Good for them. Also too, I want to go back to that Devin Cooley quote. Nothing's really going to matter. We're all going to die. But that would be, I mean, like that, you know, so what's up to the Arizona Coyotes fans right now is like that. I'm pouring one out. I'm pouring out some coffee.
Yeah, no, I've been there. It's a fucking,
yeah,
it's a gut wrenching feeling. I do not wish this upon anyone. And it's really unfortunate. And you can blame all the upper brass for this, as you always can when a situation like this occurs.
Let's talk playoffs. Let's talk about playoffs. We have playoff matchups. Asterisk. This is as of really, you know, I mean, honestly, this is probably different now, but this is what we're going to roll with. Potential playoff matchups, right? Mm. Okay. So let's start off with your Western Conference. Your number one seed, the Dallas Stars, against the Vegas Golden Knights. Mm. Who you got?
I'm taking the Stars.
I think everybody's going to pick the Golden Knights, as they should.
That's why I'm doing what I'm doing here, right?
I cannot.
Everyone is going to zig. I'm going zag.
I cannot stand them. I cannot stand the Golden Knights. I hope they get. I think, sincerely, the Stars show up and say, they don't say pass the torch. They say give us the torch.
Mm. Ottinger gets hot. Ottinger gets hot. They steal the series.
Jets, Avalanche,
Avs, easy.
I'm going Jets.
Oh, God. Okay. Now you're really just going against
it. No. Quietly, the Jets are one of the best teams in the NHL.
Yeah, not literally, so quietly. Avs are a lot better. They're gonna mash on them.
Nobody's talking about them. Also, I just noticed this article that I took a screenshot from. They spelled Winnipeg wrong. So, too many I's.
Winnipeg.
Yeah. The Canucks, Preds.
My guts tell me Vancouver, but I don't want to. But I'm taking Vancouver.
Preds, so good. I think
Vancouver. We're going opposites on all these picks. Oh, I love this.
No, I'm taking Vancouver.
Come on, man. You should have done it for the plot. All right.
I'm thinking that, like, you know, there's always some crazy upset every single year, some crazy upset in the NHL playoffs. But I think the Stars, mm-hmm. the Canucks, the Jets, I think these are top seeds for a reason. Now the Avalanche is a huge seed, you know, top seed too. But I don't know. Something's there. I just feel like something's up. Like, it's mm-hmm. just not going to translate to the playoffs for them.
Got it.
Oilers, Kings.
Oils.
I'm going to go Kings here, and I'm not doing it just to be opposite. I do feel like the Oilers they're just cursed constantly. Yeah. I think they've quietly, not quietly, but like they've gone quiet the past couple of months. They just keep winning. They're locked in the playoff spot. When they went on that epic winning streak, that's what got them back in, and everybody paid attention to them. But now they're just kind of, I don't know. I think the Oilers are cursed though. So I go Kings.
All right. I do too, but they had the top tier talent to cruise past the first round. They'll lose later on. They're not making it that far.
All right. So Eastern Conference, this one is tough. These guys have Rangers, Caps. As of right now, the Caps do have the wild card spot. So I'm not going to be a homer for the Wings here and say Wings, because the Caps technically have the wild card spot. So Rangers, Caps, what do you got?
It's Rangers, easy.
Rangers wash. Rangers wash.
Yeah.
Hurricanes, Islanders.
Hurricanes.
That's a tough one there, because the Hurricanes.
Is it?
For me, yeah, the Hurricanes, I think, have kind of struggled the past couple of years in the playoffs. They're not going super far.
Yeah, they're also a playoff team, though. They can turn on when they need to.
I don't know, man. I'm going to say Islanders just to spite you, okay? Islanders.
Please do. I mean, also, it would just be, it'd be great for the world of hockey if the Islanders moved on to the second round. So I like that.
Bruins, Tampa.
Oh, I'm taking Boston.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I think if there's an upset, it's Tampa, but I think not really an upset.
Boston has to avenge what happened last year in the playoffs to them, and they got to get that off their back, and I guarantee they're using that as motivation this year.
This might be, I think for me, this is the biggest, other than Stars, Golden Knights, I think this is probably, actually all these matchups are pretty solid. Panthers, Leafs.
I'm taking Florida.
I think they're such a good team, but
that's a horrible matchup for Toronto round one. It's not a good matchup for them.
I know, but I kind of feel like there's a little bit of a voodoo brew. I feel like
no matter what happens, I think this series goes the distance. I can see them just trading blows back and forth. No matter who goes into round two, they're going to be going in limping and bloodied. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Toronto. I think Toronto makes a little bit of a run here.
Okay.
Okay. So who you got in the Western Conference Finals?
I mean, I haven't looked at like the whole bracket though, but I'm riding with the Avs, man. I'm telling you right now.
Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, I'm riding with the Avalanche. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna pick. I'm gonna say the Canucks. That's
heart. Canadian team.
Mm-hmm. That's heart.
Okay. Wow. Okay. The entire country just golf clapped for you. So there's that.
Eastern Conference, who you got in the Cup Final?
I am going, and again, I'm just going off vibes here. I'm going to take the team that I saw, 2 years ago now, in my first ever NHL game in person, taking the New York Rangers.
I'm going to say why not. I like that. I actually really like your pick, but I'm going to pick somebody else just because I think you're probably right. But I'm going to go with the like just hot take. I'm going to be hot take, dude, right? Mm-hmm. Hot take, trying to get people to listen to us, trying to get people to hate on us. I'm going to take that, put that on my back, on my shoulders.
Okay.
I'm going to give people things to like say you're crazy about, just so we get the retweets, just so we get the comments. I'm going all Canadian final. Toronto Maple Leafs, Vancouver Canucks. I think ultimate though, chess move, ultimate, screw you.
Mm-hmm.
Canucks win the Stanley Cup.
Wow. Okay. You really are going on a different level here. Respect the game. I respect it. Yeah.
Offense, defense, goaltending, mm-hmm. Vancouver Canucks have it, I think. But all Canadian Stanley Cup final, Canucks over Leafs in six.
Okay.
What do you got? You got the Rangers and you said the Avs.
I'm taking Avs. I'm taking Avs all the way, man. Listen, I mean, I spent years in Colorado. Like, I have signed stuff from the players, you know, all that stuff. There are ties with me to the Avalanche. I loosely rooted for them for a number of years. So yeah, I'm going to ride with the Avalanche and also just the star power that they have, the depth of that team. You know, but I mean, it's either them or Las Vegas, which sounds weird for me to say, cause I just picked Dallas, but I'm picking Dallas against them in the first round, because I do think they have the talent to beat them. And if I'm rooting for an upset, of course it's going to be against Vegas.
All right. I like it. I'm going to write those out today so we can,
okay.
And put those out there.
A little bracket going on.
Existence. So we did talk about DraftKings Sportsbook quite a bit. Here's what you got to do. Download the app now. Use code THPN for DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NHL. Crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net and see our show notes for details. You know, I'm really digging listening to the radio, like online broadcast of hockey. It just makes me, you know, the Red Wings broadcast, the Kraken broadcast. I don't know. It brings back old school memories and I really like it. I can follow hockey that way. Raycon wireless earbuds, great way to do that. Make sure you get some, right? They awesome quality. They don't cost a ton of money like some of those other brands do, and actually works. They sound amazing. Battery life is awesome. You can get a good deal on those right now because of listening to this podcast. Go to buyraycon.com/THPN. It's buyraycon.com/THPN, and you get 15% off your Raycon order. So buyraycon.com/THPN. Joey, note them questions. Pretty good. This mm-hmm. is a hot topic, but roll through these.
Yeah.
What is this week's note them question?
Excuse me. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
This week's No Dumb Question comes from James Sullivan, like OG member of the Kraken Pod fam. And basically, really quick, he was just sharing that he was having some conversations with some other Kraken fans. And they were just like, yeah, man, you know, after a while, you know, the coach will be on the hot seat if the team keeps performing like this. And they believe that Haxtell will be out at some point in the near future. And so his question to us is kind of put us on the spot is, if Ron Francis decide to get rid of Hack, a.k.a. Dave Haxtell, who do you guys think? Would be a great coach for the Seattle Kraken. I have a couple of names here that I pulled, but two really stood out to me. But first, I have to ask you, are there anybody for you that comes to mind when you think about head coaches or head coaching vacancies for the hypothetical Seattle Kraken?
I think this is, I do have this. It's going to be an ultimate like inception moment for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to save it for the end.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to do.
The name that I'm thinking is not on your list.
I think I know the direction you're going to go to. One thing that would not surprise
you. I bet you do.
One thing that would not surprise me would be Jay Leach. Jay Leach is the assistant head coach of the Seattle Kraken right now. He's 44 years old. So he was the head coach of the Providence Bruins before he came over to Seattle. And also recently when the Boston Bruins, when they parted ways with Bruce Cassidy, they were actually interviewing Jay Leach and he was on their short list. I mean, he was like 2 seconds away from getting hired, before they went with, Jim Montgomery, and Jay Leach is a former defenseman, He really understands the game. He's a great hockey mind, and he has been brewing on that bench with the Seattle Kraken, and it would not surprise me at all if that move ever happens, the Kraken promote from within. So Jay Leach is a guy that I'm keeping an eye out on. I'm going to throw one more person out there. I mean, there's really a couple I'm looking at here, but Mark Savard is a dude I'm looking at, offensive-minded coach. He had to stop playing hockey due to concussions. He was coaching the Windsor Spitfires in the OHL. They had the highest-scoring offense for two seasons in a row. He is currently the assistant head coach for the Calgary Flames. And then Joel Ward. Keep an eye out on Joel Ward. That would be a massive one. The dude's an absolute beast, 11-year NHL vet. He's actually with Bruce Cassidy in Las Vegas. And that move would actually not surprise me at all, because not only would it be a great hire for this Seattle Kraken, and again, this is all hypothetical, but it would also weaken their opponent. So that's a win-win, because you would pluck a guy that, I promise you, Bruce Cassidy and the Vegas Golden Knights do not want to lose. So Joel Ward and Jay Leach for me, really. All right, who you got?
Dan Bylsma.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Did not see that coming. Why are you going there?
No, I mean, he's doing great as the head coach of the Firebirds.
Yeah, I agree.
He is a former NHL head coach. You know, he's got tons of experience with that. I think Ron Francis values the system, right? And earning a spot. I think if Hack goes, you got to go with a guy who's having, I would say, a pretty successful campaign in Coachella Valley. So I think it's a lock. If Dave Haxtell gets fired, Dan Bylsma is your Seattle Kraken head coach.
Okay, I'm into it. Yep. Great.
Fantastic. All right, so that's a good NoDem question right there. Three stars of the week. This is where Joey and I kind of rank what's been going on in our personal lives, and we put them out there. And dude, I actually have my first, I think, ever maybe media suggestion that's not just a copycat of what you suggest, because you're
go for it.
Fire flames with this. Apples never fall.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I believe, I don't even honestly know. I think it's Paramount or Netflix. My wife turns it on. I have no idea what network it's
Apples
on.
Never fall. I thought you were, I saw your note and I was like, did he go apple picking this weekend? Like, what are we talking about?
Nope. This is a show. It is pretty awesome. It is, so Sam Neill's in it, Annette Bening's in it, right? It's a good cast.
Okay.
And it's based on a book. And it's a, what do you call that? It's a mini series, I guess. Like a limited
series, like a one off. Yeah.
Which I'm excited about. There's gonna be finality, like, which I love. I don't want to see this stretched over like four seasons. But
okay,
the basics are this: is it's a family. There's four kids. The parents are both, like, one is a tennis pro. They both play tennis, so tennis is all about it. It's all about, like, how this dad's kind of only focused on winning and only focused on tennis, and all the kids have problems because of that. They're grown. And basically, like, this drifter shows up at their door one night, like, basically saying she got beat up by her boyfriend and she jumped out of a car. So the parents take her in that night. You're like, oh my gosh, you know, hopefully you're all right. We'll help you tomorrow morning, call the police and stuff. Well, she never leaves.
Oh, Jesus.
And all this stuff starts happening.
That gives me anxiety just thinking about it.
all the backstory, and then all of a sudden, like, it goes back and forth between, like, current events and past events.
Yeah.
And we see, like, in the first episode, is the mom goes missing.
Okay.
Right. And then all this stuff unravels from that point on. It's like, what's going on? Who did the husband do something? Because he's kind of a dick. Did the drifter do something?
Hey, this sounds like my jam. This sounds like a Lifetime movie, but just written better and put into a series. I'm into it.
No, you'd like it, because it's, you know, there's some funny moments, but it's also too dramatic, and, like, it's suspenseful and there's a mystery to it, and we're in the middle of it. It's pretty good. I like it. So that's my suggestion. Apples Never Fall.
Damn, that sounds awesome. I'm pumped to share. I have a recommendation coming up. Shocker. My third star, really quick, is just French Quarter Fest. French Quarter Festival. Oh. It was this past weekend. It was 4 days long. I actually was in the parade that kicked it off. I had no idea they even had a parade that kicked it off.
Oh,
massive turnout. Like, I'm talking French Quarter at 9 a.m. on a Thursday was slam packed. So I was in that. A lot of fun. Just great food and great music. I mean, for the most part, you can't beat that. Like, I had some Cochon Delay crackling nachos. I mean, dude, it's just things. And I did share this via
pulled pork Twitter. By the way, for those who don't know,
it's like old Cajun pork, basically.
Yes,
it's like a suckling
amazing
thing. And it's just, it's so good, man. And there's just things that you can really only get in New Orleans. So shout out to French Quarter Fest. It was amazing.
It's a free festival. And I saw people complaining about food prices.
Yeah. I'm like, homie, it's a free festival. Also, I mean, I don't know. You pay, you know, you get a po' boy and you pay $10 or $12. It's like, yeah, you'll pay that anywhere, really. So it is what it is. Just pick your spots.
Also, if New Orleans weather is getting an award, it's the last weekend for the whole weekend. Just the
yes, we needed like, it after the monsoon, which, by the way, I got caught in twice. Literally, I was drenched. It was bad.
Shout out to our friends in Slidell, the Dirty Del. They anyway, so there you go. There's a tornado that came through. Everybody's okay, but this building's wrecked. Anyway, weather was amazing last weekend, and the stretch continues. Mm-hmm. All right, so my second star, speaking of good weather, the Masters, man, I'm getting into golf. One of my clients is a golf tournament here in New Orleans, and I've always liked golf, but now I've got the perfect, I'm getting paid to get into golf, which is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just digging it. Plus, we live on a golf course. My son's starting to golf. Golf shoes showed up at my house that I bought. Like golf. We're going golf.
Okay.
Do you golf?
I like it. You're a golf guy now.
Do you golf?
Do it. No, we've talked about this. I'm a golf cart, drinking beers, driving the golf cart guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did I tell you we bought a golf cart?
Yeah, we talked about the last episode.
Dang. Okay, good. All
right. You got to post a video of the golf cart you bought, dude. Everyone's been waiting.
Oh, yeah, I'll do it today. Okay, cool. Gotcha. All right, so the Masters / golf, second star. There you go.
Okay. My second star is a recommendation. Ripley on Netflix is absolutely fucking incredible. It is a limited series. It's only 8 episodes long. I think they're an hour each. So as you described it, Jeff, it's like a really long movie. It is based off of, so the book was written in 1955. The Talented Mr. Ripley. Because I'm dating myself here, but that movie came out, by the way, in like 1999, The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Wow.
Let's talk about really quick here, for those that do not know or those that need a reminder of what this cast was: Matt Damon, Jude Law, Gwyneth Paltrow, Kate Blanchett, and Philip Seymour Hoffman. I mean, that movie was absolutely stacked on top of it being a great movie. And if you want to get really nerdy with it, in 1960, there was a movie called Purple Noon. Not Purple Moon, as my note suggests, that is basically a spinoff of this book that was, again, written in 1955. Ripley is The Talented Mr. Ripley on Netflix. It shot like a film noir. It's all black and white. Dude, I'm telling you, it is so riveting. I was up until, I think, midnight last night just watching 2 episodes. I'm only in episode 4. The second episode has one of the cringiest scenes I have ever seen in any television show ever, where like you're just so uncomfortable watching it, and it's so well acted. I can't even, like, the dude that plays Tom Ripley is just the perfect psychopath. Like, I cannot recommend this enough. It is a little bit different because, again, it's all black and white, noir style. But if you don't know the story of The Talented Mr. Ripley, just Google it, and I guarantee you will be interested in watching this.
Well, dude, you don't miss with your suggestions, and I'm going to say The Gentleman. I'm in love with it. I'm like only on episode 4, but man, I love everything he does, and that continues. So anyway, your suggestions are awesome. So got to watch Ripley.
Yeah. Oh, and also really quick, the guy, I just looked it up here, that plays Tom Ripley, is Andrew Scott. And he was in like Sherlock, Spectre, but in Fleabag, he was the pastor in Fleabag. And so a lot of people will recognize him from that, but dude, he is insanely good in this.
I don't know who that is. I don't know what Fleabag is. Yeah. I just trust you wholeheartedly with media picks. So that's next on my list.
Ripley, please, please, please watch. I guarantee, like, again, I'm only in episode 4, and the last 2 episodes, the whole time you're just like, holy shit. It's so good.
That's awesome. All right. I'm going to put that on the list. My number one star, short and sweet, kind of leads into your number one star. I can see it. I'm going to say Detroit Red Wings. I'm just excited. You know, tonight,
I like it.
Yep. It's just that they are the masters of their own destiny. So let's see what happens. I'm hoping they get in, and it'll be fun to actually, I'll enjoy the NHL playoffs no matter what, but if the Wings are in, watch out. Let's go. So there you go.
Okay. Also, shout Philip Seymour Hoffman. Rest in peace. One of the most underrated actors, literally, of all time.
I was going to say something is when I worked in Cincinnati, I didn't say anything to him, but he was in town shooting a movie there.
Yeah.
I think it was with Ryan Gosling. Okay. What movie was that? Anyway, and Ryan Gosling followed me on Twitter because we talked about him all the time on our morning show.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
He unfollowed me like 4 years ago.
Wow. He's like, yeah. I got to purge this guy.
But I was like 5 feet away from Philip Seymour Hoffman at like a restaurant or a bar or something like that. And mm-hmm. I like wanted to say something, but I played it cool. And I was like,
I'm that guy too. I just won't say anything.
He was great. Yeah,
rest in peace. God, he was so good in everything he did. My first star of the week. Same thing as you, man. Playoff time, NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs. It's a fantastic time of year. Could not be more excited. We're just going to have games on games on games on games. And also we get to be rid of this season of the Seattle Kraken. We can all accept our fate and move on and just enjoy hockey and not be, you know, doom scrolling and doom watching things. So I'm excited for it. Playoffs are here.
Yeah. We just need to like acceptance and just finality. We're just ready. It's been a fun Seattle Kraken season, you know, more lows than highs, but it's fun, but we are ready. Ready for the NHL playoffs, ready for playoff season just in general. So, Joey, have an awesome week. I'm totally pumped. This Saturday, the NHL playoffs start, hopefully with the Red Wings in it. So, Joey, I'm going to urge you. I don't know what this is. Maybe you can find a Red Wings chirp of the week, but I don't want to throw you under the bus. So I'll take whatever you got.
You know I'll find something. I always do.
Well, have a good week, dude. You listening, have an awesome week. Thanks for listening to the Kraken Pod. And we'll leave you with our Detroit Red Wings chirp of the week. Wayne Hudson, a chance.